All right, I'm not sure if I should say, may the force be with you, or turning your Bibles to a certain passage. Well, that's quite an introduction. Good morning again, everybody, and it's good to see you. Let me say a quick shout out to everybody over at the gathering here on our East York campus, also gathering on our West York campus, and also everybody over on our East York campus. Trust that this will be a day that you sense the Lord's presence and grace. And also, I want to say a shout out to all of our college students who I see a number of them back already. I guess we'll see more back as well next weekend. Welcome back. It's always good to have you back home. You can turn in your Bible if you want to the book of Ephesians chapter 6 is where we're going to start this morning in just a moment. But let's pray and ask for the Lord's grace to do just that, to wash over each of us and our souls today as we meet together. Father, thank you for the privilege it is for us in these moments to open our hearts, our minds, our souls to you, Lord. And I pray that you would open our eyes today to the unseen spiritual battles that go on all around us. Give us grace to be sensitive to it. Teach us about it today. But also I pray that you would teach us about the authority that you have, Lord Jesus, and the authority that we have in this battle, because we are in you. And we just love that, and we thank you for that. I pray that you'll minister in a deep way to each heart and life in all of our venues this morning, and I ask this in Christ's great name. Amen. Amen. Well, some time ago, a couple were really looking forward to taking a cruise together. You know, the moonlit deck, the sumptuous food, the friendly crew, and all that stuff that goes with it. And when they got on the cruise liner, however, they were very disappointed because the cruise the crew seemed kind of distracted and even rude. The food wasn't all that good. Instead of moonlit dancing on the deck, there were these alarms that were going off and planes that were buzzing by. And so they went to complain to the captain. And he took one look at them and said, listen, I don't know how you got here, but this isn't a cruise liner. This is a battleship. And we're at war. I'm not sure that's a true story, but it works well for this sermon this morning. But you know, one of the realities I think that we have to deal with from time to time as we follow Jesus is that sometimes we have misconceptions about where we really are. Sometimes we have those misconceptions. I've said it before in this series, when we follow Jesus Christ, we do not follow him to a playground, we follow him to a battlefield. And the battle isn't for land, it isn't for money, it isn't for political power or influence or anything like that. The battle is for the souls of people. And thus, my friends, it is our hearts, our minds, our souls, our bodies, our motives, priorities, marriages, children, families, present, past, and future. Those are the disputed territories in this battle that we face as we follow Jesus. And so I want to talk about that this morning. And I want you to think about this big idea that's in front of you today, that when we follow Jesus, we follow him into what I want to call today a contested universe. We follow him into a realm and into a world that is unseen but is very real. A universe where there, Scripture says, there is a battle going on. We don't see it. Sometimes we don't even know it. Sometimes we're completely oblivious to it. But it is reality, and that battle is for the hearts and the souls and the minds of people. And so this morning, we want to talk about that, and we want to talk about this. You know, what is this battlefield like? And what are the weapons that I have to use in this battle so that I can fight in a way that honors God? And who really has authority in this battle? Who is truly the general, uncontested, on the battlefield as you and I wage this battle for our hearts and our minds and our souls? Some great questions today. Let's talk about following Jesus into a contested universe. And I want to begin this morning in the book of Ephesians, as I said, chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Well, the first thing I want us to think about today is this, that we have, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, we have an adversary who is out to destroy us and to bring us down. And here's what Paul said here in Ephesians chapter 6 as he outlines this idea beginning at verse 10. Finally, Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have stood, done everything, to be able to stand. Number one, we have an adversary who wants to destroy us. And so the first thing that I think Paul is saying to us here in these verses is that the material world that you and I see, the physical world that is all around us, is not all the only reality in this life. There's an unseen spiritual world, and those spirits are not all good. And you know what's interesting about this day and age? I find that actually most people outside the church actually accept this, right? All you got to do is witness all of the television shows and cable programs and movies that deal with paranormal activity. You know, we're not in the dark about this in this particular day and age. There is a spirit world out there where, and some of those spirits are good and some of them are evil. And in this spiritual world, Paul says, he says there is great influence there and there's also great conflict. And look what Paul does there as he describes what I want to call the multiplied thousands of Satan's minions. And look at how Satan has organized them. Some of them are rulers. Some of them are authorities. Some of them are powers. Others of them are spiritual forces of evil in this dark world. And so I can imagine this morning that Satan assigns one ruler to the United States of America, and then he assigns one to Great Britain, and he assigns one to the Middle East and all the countries of the world. And then underneath all of them are these powers and forces, and they have responsibilities to do those things. I think it actually comes right down to our families. It wouldn't surprise me if there are spirits, unseen evil spirits that are after your family and mine. I think it actually gets right down to individuals where Satan, of course, today in so many ways is having a heyday. And so what is Paul saying there? Listen to me, church. Paul is saying we have adversaries. Look at how he describes them. And those adversaries are real, and they want to bring you down as a Christ follower. In fact, I want you to think about this here. There are just a number of things these adversaries have, a couple objectives that they have in our lives. Go to the next slide, if you would, please. And here are just a few things. I think it's in your notes as well this morning. Just a few things that Satan, you and I, should be understanding that Satan and his minions are going to try to do these things to us. Number one, they're going to try to tempt us to do wrong. They even did that to Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 4. Number two, they're going to steal God's word from our hearts. How many times have we seen somebody so close to coming to know Jesus, and it's like somebody came in there and just scooped that person up? Well, Luke 8 says what Satan does. Number three, he tries to hold us in bondage. And I think this morning of just drugs and alcohol and pornography and resentment and anger and the whole opioid addiction, all that stuff. What is going on there, church? I'll tell you what's going on there. Satan is a part of that, and he's ruining people's lives and holding them in bondage. Number four, he disguises himself as an angel of light, Scripture says. He actually gets you and me to think and do things that we know were wrong, but because he plants that stuff in our heads, we actually think it's right. He disguises himself as an angel of light. And he aims, 1 Peter says, like a roaring lion to devour your life and mine. Oh, we have an adversary, the devil. And wherever God shows up, church, you should understand that Satan is also going to show up, because everything that God is for, Satan is against. He is a devil. He is a slanderer. Jesus said he is a liar. Jesus said he has been a liar from the beginning. And I know that's some sober truth this morning. And you're thinking, I didn't come here to be preached at like this. Well, we need to hear this. This is some sober, sober truth. We have an adversary, and he wants to bring us down. He wants to bring our marriages and our families and our kids down. This is the second thing I want you to see. I want you to see that his tactic is to get a foothold in your life and mine. His tactic is to get a foothold in our lives. So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, if you will, and Paul is going to talk about this when it has to do with anger, but he's going to give us a principle that I'm going to show you. We see actually throughout the Word of God, this is what Satan does in your life and mine. Look at this, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Paul is talking about the problem of anger and resentment and how it takes over our lives. And listen to what he says. He says, in your anger, do not sin. And so I guess there is some righteous anger, but be very careful about that, because you're a human being. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a what, church? A foothold in your life. Now, I want you to think about this, because I think Paul is saying that anger in itself is not sinful, but what we do with our anger can lead us into sin if we don't deal with it. And so what happens when we don't address sin? What happens when we coddle sin, when we flirt with sin, when we don't turn from sin in our lives? Look what Paul said there. He says it gets a foothold in our lives. And here's the idea. It gets a foot in the door. So if you think with me about somebody closing a door and you putting your foot there and making sure that the door doesn't close, that's what Paul is talking about there. Sin left undealt with in your life and mine is a foothold that Satan has in our lives. And of course, what he wants to do, he wants to throw the door wide open so that he can go in there and do whatever he wants. But it starts with him getting a foothold in your life and mine. It's a huge principle. We see this happening all over the Bible. Turn with me, if you would, go way back to Genesis chapter 4. For a second here, to the first recorded instance of sibling rivalry and the first recorded instance of murder. Now I want you to see what God said to Cain just before he was ready to murder his brother Abel. We all know that story, right? And so God saw what was happening in Cain's heart. Cain was getting resentful toward his brother, and so he confronted him. Before he murdered him, he confronted him, and he said this, God, these are God's words, why are you angry, Cain? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is what, church? Crouching at your door. Sin wants to get a foothold in your life, Cain. Desires to have you, but you must master it. Wow. And so God was warning Cain way back there that if he decided to give in to sin, that sin was going to be crouching. Look at what it says there, crouching and waiting at the door of his life. And it'll open, of course, the door, God is saying. Cain is going to open the door to greater havoc. And of course, we know that it did, because Cain eventually took his brother's life. That's the nature of temptation. And what we need to hear, I think, and see from this passage is that Satan and his minions are constantly looking for areas of vulnerability in your life and mine. What is it with you? Maybe it's resentment, or lust, or pride, or greed, or anger. He crouches at the door waiting so that he can get a foothold in our lives so that he can bust the door open and begin to do everything that he wants to do in our lives. I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 5 because there's another passage, I think, that teaches that as well. Ananias and Sapphira, remember that story way back when? They sold some land. They decided to lie about the amount of money that they got for that piece of land so that they could bring this amount of money and lay it in front of church, and everybody would be all impressed with how much money they were giving to the church. By the way, don't ever do that because Acts 5 might happen to you. It's not a good thing. And so eventually they would lose their lives. Ananias and Sapphira would be killed, the scripture says, by the Holy Spirit. But before it happens, Peter has a very instructive comment to Ananias. Look at what he says here. Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart, verse 3, that you have lied to the Holy Spirit of God? Wow. And so I don't know how that all happened, but apparently over a bagel that Sunday morning, you know, Ananias and Sapphira were discussing this whole thing. And Satan showed up. And Satan began to speak into their hearts and their minds. Now, you know, here's what I want you to think about. If Satan would have showed up in a dramatic way, they would have been terrified. But he didn't do that. What he did was put that thought in their minds, Peter is saying there, and he used it to make sin look good. That's what Satan does. You and I think, need to get this down this morning. Satan and his minions put thoughts in our minds that we think are our own so that we don't fear them, right? You know, if I can be thinking something, that makes a lot of sense. That came from me. I trust myself. I'm not a bad person, blah, blah, blah. And then we run with it. When in reality, if we don't take it and bring it before God and His Word, it might be Satan speaking into us and trying to get us to do something. Every indication in Ananias and Sapphira were believers in Jesus Christ, and yet they were open to Satan speaking into their lives. Satan is a strong, formidable foe. He wants to destroy your life and mine. He wants to get footholds in our lives. He wants to destroy us. He's been doing it for a very long time. Here's that. That's a great thought, you know. If you think that you can outwit Satan, stop thinking that way. You can't do that in your own strength. He's been doing this to God's people for a very long time, and he's very good at it. And so you can't do this in your own strength. You and Satan alone, you are not strong enough to go against him. Just you and Satan alone. Do you know that? I'm going to talk about Jesus in a second, obviously. But if we try to do battle with Satan in our own strength, listen to me, church, he's going to crush us like an ant. He's stronger than us, ourselves, in our own strength. He's a formidable foe. And in some of us here this morning, he's gotten a foothold in our lives. And he's trying to throw the door wide open. And it's only Jesus who can change that. Amen, church? That's the third thing we want to talk about today, all right? We're going to talk about this tremendous idea that in Christ, we do not have to fear our adversary. We should have respect for him, but we don't have to fear him. There is an authority. It's the Greek word exousia. There is an authority that Jesus has over our adversary, and because we are in Christ, glory to God, we have that same authority in our own lives. I want you to go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1, and as you're turning there, I want you to write down, can you do two things at one time? I want you to write down Luke chapter 11 in your notes. And I want you to go home today. I want you to read Luke chapter 11. Because in Luke chapter 11, Jesus himself talks about this. He talks about how you and I need someone, capital S, someone stronger than Satan. We need someone who has authority over Satan. And in Luke chapter 11, Jesus told an outstanding parable about a strong man who was very strong and who we cannot fight in our own strength. And he was talking about Satan. But then he talked about someone, capital S, who was stronger than the strong man and who can defeat him. And that someone who is stronger than the strong man is Jesus Christ. Church, we need to hear that. And Paul is talking about that in Ephesians 1. Listen to these words. I love these words. Listen to what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19, as he talks about Jesus and his power. Here's what he says. Verse 19, and his incomparably great power. So there, the adjectives are already flying, right? His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So he's taken us back there to the resurrection of Christ, right? To help us understand something about God's power. Verse 21. Far above. You ought to underline that, those two words in your Bible, by the way. And look at where he goes next. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. Right? Does that take you back to Ephesians chapter 6? Certainly does. Christ is far above those and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God has placed all things under his feet, verse 22, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Wow. Listen to me this morning, church. There is no authority in this universe higher than Jesus Christ. There's no president. There is no king. There is no angel or demon, not even Satan himself, can stand against the authority of Jesus Christ. And the point that Paul is making here is this: because we are his children, we operate in the same authority. He said it, I think, in an amazing way in Colossians chapter 2. So you want to turn there here. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. And he takes this power of Jesus Christ and he applies it to you and me and our lives. And he says this. He says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And look at this, church. And you have been brought to fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Oh, I love those verses. And so, because we are in Christ, because we live and move in his realm and in his power, we have the exousia, the authority of Christ, to stand against Satan and anything he might want to do in our lives, in our families, in our kids' lives, in the life of our church. Now, how do we see this authority at work in our lives? What are the things that we need to do as individuals so that we can see the authority of God at work in our prayers and in our ministry and in the things that we say and do for Christ? And I've got a couple takeaways and answers for you I want you to think about today. Number one, Paul said it back there in Ephesians chapter 6. He says that we should be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And I love Colossians 2 and verse 15, where it says that Jesus Christ disarmed the powers and authorities, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing them over the cross. And so Paul has taken us back there to the cross of Jesus Christ. He's telling us that on the cross, Jesus, one of the things he did was invade the kingdom of darkness. You ought to get that down, church. When Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine, he invaded the kingdom of darkness. And he made it so that you and I can be victorious. And so Satan, listen to me, church, Satan has as much power as Jesus allows and not a whit more. Are you with me on that one? Satan may be called the God of this world. That's one of his titles in the scriptures, the God of this world. Small g. And so is God up there in heaven saying, oh my goodness, he's the God of this world. I may have to stand back and let him do whatever he wants. No, listen, he disarmed his power and authority. He made a public spectacle of Satan on the cross. Glory to God for that. And so Satan cannot so much as wiggle a finger unless God gives him permission. Satan is, well, he's under the authority of God. Be strong in this church. Be strong in this church. Be strong in this truth. Be strong in the Word of God. Be strong in prayer. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty authority in your life and mine as a follower. Glory to God. Be strong in this. Number two, I want to encourage you to surrender your life to God. To submit your life to God. And here's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about every area of your life. I'm talking about that area in your life where God, where Satan wants a foothold, and he's got a foothold right now. What is it? Lust? Resentment? Gossip? Backbiting, anger. What is it? Listen to me this morning. I'm asking you to come before God today and turn that over, turn that area over to Him. Submit and surrender that. Resist the devil, Scripture says, and he'll flee from you. Come near to God and let God do the work that He wants to do. Erwin Lutzer was the pastor of the Moody Church for a number of years. He tells about a young woman that he dealt with one day who was just seemed to be bound over to the influence of Satan in her life. And she was somebody who was creating conflict and division in their church in so many ways. And so he met with her one day. And one of the things he asked her to do was to look deep in her life and renounce anything that she was holding on to. And as they began to talk, she began to talk about how way back when in her life, she was brutally assaulted when she was on a date one night. And ever since that, she had this huge, huge hatred in her heart, not only for that assailant, but also for herself. She loathed herself as a result of what had happened to her. And as she began to confess and renounce that hatred, Pastor Lutzer says he could almost see the darkness that had overshadowed her life begin to lift, and she left that day a free woman, and he saw her the next week at church, and he couldn't even recognize her because she was so joyful as God began to work in her life. Neil Anderson, I think, says an amazing thing when he says this. If you want to get rid of the flies, you've got to take out the garbage. Amen? You should have been a little louder on that one. If you want to get rid of the flies, you've got to take out the garbage, church. What am I saying here? If Satan has a foothold, listen to me this morning. If he has a foothold in your life, he's thinking, this is my territory because you're doing some things you haven't repented of. If you allow that to continue, it'll be almost impossible for you to find freedom from his influence. He delves in this stuff. He's the master of that world. But when we deal with sin, Especially, church, the sin that so easily besets us, and we all struggle with it, we all have it. Listen to me, when we do that, what we do is we undercut the adversary's ability to do the things in our lives that he wants to do. And so you're thinking, I need this authority in my life. I need this help right now. I'm asking you to be strong in the Lord. Secondly, I'm saying you need to bring every area of your life before God and submit to it. Submit to the Lord. Surrender that to him. And then there's a third thing I want you to think about. Number three, we need to come to the throne of God's grace. Oh, Paul said it this way. He said, let us approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He said this in Ephesians 6 there in that same chapter. He said, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You know what, church? Satan is best fought within the community of faith. You ought to get that down. When we band together as a community, there is a deliverance from Satan's wiles. It is in the context of community that we pray together and we fight together and we find help. Listen to me today. It's not just you and the adversary. It's you and me and other believers. That's why I'm announcing this morning that we talked about this earlier this year, a prayer team here at COD that whose job is to pray for each other and pray for the services of our church and pray that Satan is quenched. If you'd like to be a part of that team, we have an email that's simply this, prayer@codyork.org. Let us know that you're willing to be a part of that and we'll get you on that. Come. Collectively, that's a word to the entire church there. Come to God's throne of grace. I was watching the Animal Channel some time ago and was watching this huge herd of water buffalo being chased around by a couple of lions who were hungry for dinner. And of course, you know what happened, right? You've watched it long enough. Some of us old enough to remember Mutual of Omaha and all that other stuff. But what happened, of course, is that they began to chase after the one buffalo that strayed from the herd. And they went after it and got its leg and jumped on it and brought him down. And you know the rest of the story. But here's the shocking thing as I was watching it that day. There were perhaps 100 water buffalo standing around watching that thing go down. And if water buffalo can think, I'm sure they were thinking this, boy, am I glad it's not happening to me. And I thought to myself, imagine if that water buffalo herd had decided, we're not going to let those lions get away with us anymore, and they banded together and turned as a herd on those lions. I'll tell you what would have happened. Those lions would have turned tail and run right out of there because they knew that they had the advantage when they got one off to the side, away from the herd, and they could bring him down. Listen to me, friends. Satan wants to divide us. He wants to divide our church and every other church out there. He wants to divide your family. He wants to separate you from your husband or your wife. He wants to divide you. You know that? He wants you to have war with yourself. And here's how he does it. He separates us from the herd. He gets us mad at the church, or Christians, or a pastor, or somebody else, and when we leave the protection of the flock, he intensifies his battle, and he tries to bring us down. Am I talking truth here or not, church? Oh, yes. And right now, he has some of you down. And the only answer is for the family of God to band together and to do what Paul is telling us to do today, to pray, to surrender things that need to be surrendered, to look to God as the source of our strength, to speak the word of God over our situations, our families, our marriages, to live by the word of God, and to fight these battles spiritually. Listen to me this morning, church. Strongholds are broken at the throne of grace. Families are saved at the throne of grace. Individuals are delivered at the throne of grace. Come to the throne of grace, Paul said, there to find mercy and help and strength in our time of need. The spiritual resources are ours. We must simply lay hold of them. And all God's people said, Amen.